Hey, yo. Here is the bottom line on the Penguins elimination. The Penguins lost three straight games in which they held leads. That blew a 3-1 series lead. Included in those three games in which they blew leads, games 5, 6, and 7, included were two games, games 5 and 6, where the Penguins led by 2. The helmet thing and even the injuries, that's all just a smokescreen after you lost. Three straight games in which you led, in which you could have won the series. The Penguins have legit excuses, especially the injuries, but the Penguins couldn't close the deal. That is the biggest story. That is why you need change. I've said it for months. The Penguins are stale. This is the Mark Madden Show. You like it, you love it, you want more of it. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Or you can do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter at MarkMaddenX. The Penguins had their breakup day today. They addressed the media one at a time. And I think, despite all the pleas, oh, I want to stay here, I want to finish my career here, blah, blah. Despite all that, the Penguins need to get younger and be rebuilt around Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel and with cap flexibility. It won't take that long. I just don't trust Ron Hextall to do it. To be honest, when I heard guys talking today, I didn't hear enough accountability after losing Game 7. I heard about the helmet. I heard they deserved better, but not a lot of accountability. Like E-Rod today, my penalty wasn't a penalty. Yeah, it was. Boo-hoo, you blew it. Also revealed today, Brian Dumoulin sustained a torn MCL, a grade 3 tear, in Game 1. So that's why he missed the rest of the series. That's going to be repaired in the offseason. So call 412-333-WXDX. The big news du jour is that Rob Rossi's claim that Sid was cleared to play Game 6 but was told he could not play by general manager Ron Hextall. Sullivan and Crosby both refuted that today. Sullivan and Crosby. Oh, Liverpool tied. Oh, no, wait, offside. Crap. Sullivan and Crosby both said Sid was cleared to play in Game 6. Now, let's keep in mind, Sullivan and Crosby would obviously lie about this. But let's keep in mind, too, I can't see a scenario where Sid was cleared to play, where he wouldn't play, and even crazier, the GM would decide that he didn't. I think that's a Sid decision after the doctors make their decision, and Sullivan and Crosby say that Crosby was not cleared to play Game 6. Then again, Matt Dumba of Minnesota played with a punctured lung, a dislocated rib, and a broken rib. Just saying. So, while I think the Penguins would definitely lie, Sully would lie, Sid would lie, the whole story never made sense in the first place that Hextall told Sid he couldn't play after Sid was cleared to play. So, Sullivan and Crosby denying that Sid was cleared and told not to play in Game 6. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. There's just so much Penguin stuff that needs to be discussed. I kind of feel like we're glossing over them having lost a series that they led 3-1 to look ahead. We were debating the turning points of the series against New York. I compiled a list. Number one is Trouba's hit on Sid. If Sid doesn't get hurt, the Penguins win that series. Number two is Domingue allowing that bad goal to lose game six. Number three is Erod's penalty that enabled the Rangers to score a power play goal and turn game six around when they were down 2-0. Number four is McGinn's mistake in overtime of game seven, the turnover, then the penalty, which literally decided the series. I still cannot believe that McGinn was the last man, that both defensemen were lower than him in overtime of game seven. I can't believe that. And number five is the Penguins blowing all those leads, which is generic and not specific, but they blew a lot of leads. Like I said, today was breakup day. Most of the players talked to the media. They may all have done by the time I stopped listening, watched a little Zoom. All the free agents said they'd like to stay. They did not add the phrase that literally pays, at my price. I would like to stay at my price. You don't need to say that. I think it's implied. It's universal. Brian Rust said he's outperformed his contract, so see you later. Gino said, I love Sid and Letang. They're like my brothers. I want to stay here at my price. He didn't say that, but he felt that. And Letang said he would not talk about contract negotiations as per an agreement with him and Ron Hextall. 412-333-WXDX, the number to call. My voice is killing me. You calling would help me out, but I doubt you will. I've come to realize, too, that not as many people are in their cars this time of day because people work at home, which is to say not really working at all. So the calls come thick and fast later in the show, at least they have the last couple days. What's your take on the denial by Sid and Sully both saying that they said that Sid was not clear to play game six? Rossi said he was, and Hextall told him no. What do you believe in there? Because the Penguins would lie, but I don't think they are, because I can't envision a scenario where Sid's cleared and doesn't play, no matter who wants what. What's your take on the upcoming free agency? We'll talk about that at length. What's your take on, to my mind, the Penguins losing the series being glossed over? We're talking about free agency. We're talking about who goes where. Yo, they were up 3-1, and they had a lead in every single game after that, 5, 6, and 7, and they lost. And people were still saying, this team has one more run left in it. Keep the gang together. Actually, I'm not sure who all is saying that, but I hear it enough to know that some people want that, and there's no reason you should want that. It is time to turn the friggin' page. I just don't see the logic that you keep the core together after losing 5 straight playoff series. And if that's what's important, if just making the playoffs is important, then you're Mike Tomlin with never having had a losing season. What you think is important isn't. And that would be just pathetic, just like wallowing in the glory of the Tomlin streak is pathetic. In other news, Antonio Brown doesn't want to play again for the Steelers. Some people thought that when we heard that he said he wanted to retire as a Steeler. No, he just wants a ceremony to retire as a Steeler. Ramon Foster said he should. I say no way. Ramon was a real Steeler. All AB did was defecate on the logo every chance he got. Him retiring as a Steeler, he's not owed that. He shouldn't get an honor like that. Like I said, he defecated on the logo. He finagled his way out. There is no need to make AB feel good. And I think this is just a publicity stunt because he has a rap concert coming up and he wants to promo it. I will not promo it. I will not tell you where it is. I will not tell you when it is. And if you do go, I want you to throw stuff at him. Well, no, don't do that. As far as I know, don't do that on my account. Don't do that. you shouldn't, and yell stuff to distract him and make his rap even worse and anger him. That would be my game plan. But don't throw stuff. Do not. No, don't. Don't. Unless you're really sure. No, I mean, don't throw stuff. You know, it amazes me a guy like Ramon, and Ramon Foster's a really good guy. It amazes me a guy like Ramon, who is just such a stealer, would back AB in wanting something like that. I mean, they had to know how much he hurt the team despite how well he played. You know, it's a weird stat. Not a weird stat, a weird thing that happened in the series. How about Mike Matheson own gold us three times? Some people said four or five. I went back and looked. I counted three. Three own goals. And I got to tell you, I don't think it's anything he did wrong. I think he played, 1-1. That one's going to count. Takumi Minamino. Awesome. Arigato. Back in it. What was I talking about? Boy, I get distracted by a Liverpool goal, don't I? Somebody call me and remind me what I was talking about. It's early onset something or other. Oh, the own goals. The own goals by Mike Matheson. Yeah, three by my count. And I don't think he screwed up. Own goals are generally just wrong place, wrong time, bad luck. And I think that applied to all of those own goals. I think Matheson's a hell of a player. I'm not sure you can win with them. Does that make any sense? That might sound kind of dumb. He has all the skills. He could skate. He could play forever. But boy, he takes a lot of chances. And sometimes they wind up in the wrong net. Anyway, we got Matt Wenzel in the Post-Gazette at 3:30. We got Stan Saverin at 4:30. We got the great hockey writer Scott Burnside at 5:30. What do you think? Do you think Sid was sold, was told not to play, as Rossi reported, and didn't? Or do you think he wasn't cleared to play, as Sid and Sullivan said today? Keep in mind, the Penguins would lie, but this doesn't feel like they are. 105.9 The X.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
You don't have an option. You think it's the You Show? It's the Me Show.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Come on. The lights, the robe, the hair, the woo!
The X at 105.9.
It's time for the Bucco Roundup. Pirates lost 9-0 at Chicago yesterday. The Cubs led 8-0 after one inning. For some inexplicable reason, the teams play again tonight at Chicago. And that's the Bucco Roundup here on 105.9 The X. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on with Double M.
What up, Double M?
What up, man?
Rob Rossi's reporting that Letang and both Malkin were offered 3 years worth $15 million apiece, and it doesn't sit well with Sid. Do you think that's a
I don't believe that Rossi talked to Sid about that. That could have been something passed along by Malkin's agent, who also represents Sid. I just don't believe Sid is going to react to an offer made. Now, if those guys leave, Sid may react to that. But I don't believe Sid would be angry about that. I'm not saying Rob lied. I'm saying that maybe Rob was lied to. But at any rate, I just don't believe that. And, you know, if you get an offer made to you that you find insulting, well, maybe you should get the message because you're being told you're not wanted. Let's go to Ace. Ace, you're on with Double M.
What up, man?
What up, Mike?
Shotgun of points. You know, I think the series is mostly on the goaltending. That shot that went up and over Domingue's glove was terrible. And then the lead, you know, losing all those leads so quickly. I know their swirl of the defense was screening and swirling around in front of the net, but you got to make some of those stops and all those flurry of shots.
You got to make more saves than he did, certainly. Yeah, but another complaint, and I'm not dismissing the goaltending because I thought Domingue was horrible. But
yeah,
you're allowed to adjust your game when you're ahead by two in an elimination game. And I still can't get over at all that in game three, when they blew the 4-1 lead but found themselves leading by 5-4 with 9 minutes left, they trapped and worked the puck down low instead of attacking off the rush. And it worked. And they won. And they never did it again despite having leads.
I know. That's a fair point. You would think that after coughing up two in a row and tying it in two different games that they would do something like, hey, we got to stop the bleeding here, and they didn't make any adjustments. The other thing, too, you said about Matheson is so true. You watch him skate around the ice. He's a beautiful skater. And then, like, you know, at the end of a push, he'll either bobble the puck or lose control of it.
Well, no, not always. I mean, he makes a lot of good plays, but he's just very risky to be a top pair defenseman and to play with Letang. I have called him the human hand grenade. Watching him play, it's like a pinata filled with crystal meth exploding.
It's true. And I guess when you're swirling around in front of the net and you're all over the place and the Rangers just throwing the puck at the net, going off skates and whatnot, it's just, I don't know how you defend against
no,
that.
No, but that, but thank you for the call. Yeah, the own goals for Matheson, that's bad luck. Own goals are bad luck 99 out of 100 times, be it in hockey or the real football. Let's go to our good friend, the Egyptian magician. Hello, my friend.
Hi, Mark. I hope you feel better. Listen, I'm looking at the whole thing. First of all, of course, you have to have some kind of luck to win this Stanley Cup. Two glaring common denominator since 2017. One is the fact that they don't have size. I want to see who is our defender that's a shutdown defender, just like
yeah,
Edmund.
Bob, it's not 2009. Cal Gill couldn't even play in the league now. That's not how it's played today.
Well, what they did, every time that they needed a goal, they rattled somebody. And they gambled that referee's not going to call, and that's basically, they had the zero fear.
Yeah, Bob, just don't let the puck get there. That's how you play defense now. Don't let the puck get to the slot.
The second one, which I have said that, what, a million times, this pinching, and it cost us, and it cost us again. You said it yourself. How could that guy in the game seven... The defender.
How can the forward be the last man? How can he be the last man? That's exactly right. And, you know, both defensemen were down lower, and it's this declaration. We play the game the right way. But I can guarantee you, I knew Herb Brooks, I knew Badger Bob, I knew Scotty Bowman, and none of them would think the forward being higher than both defensemen in overtime in game seven is playing the game the right way. Not one of them would think that.
Absolutely. And, my last thing is, look, we do not have – no team is fearing on us as far as in our backside. We don't have – who is our shutdown defenseman? Have you seen
Bob, quit talking about shutdown defenseman. That's not the way the game is anymore.
Tell me who the
Rangers shutdown defenseman is.
Well, not necessarily shutdown. Maybe I'm making it wrong.
Tell me who Florida's shutdown defenseman is.
But look at the throw check. Do we have anybody that can put fear in other teams forward?
Goodbye, Bob. Usually you're on, but you just want to get bigger and tougher, and that's not anything to do with why they lost. It just isn't. Up next, we'll talk to Matt Vensel of the Post-Gazette here on the home of the Penguins, 105.9 The X.
Now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark, second time caller, love the show.
I'd like to talk to Mike about Marc-Andre Fleury. Pay attention, dumb skull, and talk.
The X at 105.9.
Penguins are out. Breakup day was today. Joining me now to discuss, he covers the Penguins for the Post-Gazette. Always great to have on Matt Vensel. Matt, first off, what's your take on the controversy where Hextall allegedly said he couldn't play in Game 6 despite being cleared? But today, both Sid and the coach, Mike Sullivan, said that Sid was not cleared to play Game 6. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, this all was news to me today as well. I've kind of been in I've been in the COVID protocol for a few days now, but I don't really see a scenario where if Sid wasn't ready that he wouldn't play if he was cleared. I mean, I know he's been cautious over the years, but I kind of take this one at face value that he wasn't ready for Game 6, and he got back as soon as he could, and Got out there for game seven and gave him his best shot to try to win it for him.
Yeah, because there's no logical reason to hold him out if he's cleared to play, correct? Especially in a crucial game like that.
Yeah, unless he says, I don't feel ready or I want to be cautious, which would be understandable, but I don't see why the team would hold him out if the doctors, who, you know, pretty much always have the final say in this matter, said, yeah, he's good to go.
I thought the big story of the series, Matt, was that the Penguins blew a lead in each of the series' last three games. How did that happen? Because, boy, to do it once, shame on you. To do it three times, you're eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two ways to look at this series. I know a lot of people have just pointed to the injuries. And sure, had they had everyone this entire series, they probably would have won the series. But that said, the fact that they weren't able to win despite having those leads, particularly the 2-0 lead in game six at home, suggested they wouldn't have lasted much longer had they got past the Rangers. And it really was just a bunch of inexcusable miscues. I mean, like Evan Rodriguez taking the penalty in game six that gave them life, or them somehow allowing a 2-0 rush while they were trying to kill a penalty. Those little things add up. And to me, I mean, I think it's a continuation of what we saw from this team down the stretch. Alarm bells went off here. When they sputtered down the stretch, they were making a bunch of mental miscues. They were unable to really string together three periods in a row. I mean, they might have had one complete performance, not including the game where they beat up on the Red Wings, the final 2 months of the season. So I think that issue with consistency and just that resolve showed up in the biggest moment of the season, where these guys had commanding leads, particularly that one at home. And they let the Rangers right back into it. And once, things started going the other way, they weren't able to stop the bleeding. So, yeah, that to me is the takeaway, not the injuries. It's that this team, who has still had plenty of leaders left behind, squandered those leads. And ultimately, I mean, game seven was a toss-up. That could have went either way. But game five, and particularly game six, is where they blew this series.
Well, you're 100% right about the grievous mistakes. And to wit, we keep getting told that they play the game the right way, but on the play that literally decided the series, Brock McGinn, a forward, was the last man. He tried to make a move with the puck. Both those things flunk hockey 101. Both defensemen were inexplicably lower than him, and the Rangers got the puck, and McGinn had to take a penalty. I mean, how does a scenario like that occur in a game like that with so much on the line?
Yeah, I read your column, and I thought you made some great points there. I mean, any player, regardless of position, needs to know when they're the last man back and act accordingly. And you can't try to step around a guy, even if it is a defenseman, and maybe you're not as worried about him going the other way. You still got to just, chip it in and try to regroup it. And yeah, the forwards or the defenseman stepped up on that play. That's why he was up at the blue line. But still, if you're McGinn, a guy who is brought in to make all the little plays that help you win a championship, I mean, he was brought in to be a glue guy. You have to recognize the risk with that play and see there's little upside in trying to skate around Condre Miller and just chip it in and live to fight another day. And that's ultimately ended up costing him.
Well, that's a good point. If Sid tries that, maybe Sid can make it work. But McGinn can't try that, and Rodriguez can't take that penalty you referred to a little bit ago. What's your take on Jari's play in game seven, Matt, and was starting him the correct move?
Yeah, I think starting him was the correct move. I'm assuming the medical staff signed off on that one too. I know he didn't look quite right, but he gave it his all. He certainly did better than you probably would think Domingue would do. No offense to Domingue. I think Tristan deserves a pass, even though they did score four goals. I just liked his attitude. I don't know what that means going forward. I assume he's going to be the starter next year. I do think they need to bring in a better backup solution. But, even that first play, they shot it down on him. He made a routine save, and Mika Zibanejad skates towards his crease, and he just kind of shoves his hand out and gives him a little shove. And to me, that just kind of said a completely different attitude for Jari, that he wasn't going to wilt in the playoff spotlight. I think this one simply came down to a guy doing the best he could on a sore foot. So I think it was the right move to play him. I thought he gave him the best chance to win. And, I think he deserves a pass. And the little bit I saw of him and the fact that he was willing to go out and put himself in that situation, I think speaks well to maybe him getting over the hump from what happened to the Islanders last year.
What's your take on the Pettersson's helmet falling off thing? Because, wow, they leaned on that awful hard after the game talking about it, but Marino don't got to turn the puck over. I'm pretty sure that's not in the rules.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, especially for a team that talks about not making excuses.
I'll be blunt, Matt. I think since the minute that puck went in the net off Panarin's stick, they've done nothing but make excuses.
Right. I mean, it's a tough call. That's the rule. It's not the official's fault that that's in the rule book. You know, Pettersson could have done a couple different things there. I'm not going to fault him for in the heat of the moment just saying, okay, I better get off the ice so I don't take a penalty. But, you know, for them to say it was a nothing play, I mean, it was. They still had that situation under control. And, yeah, there was a little bit of scrambling, but that should have been something that they took care of. And you mentioned the Marino turnover as well, which it's a bummer, too, because I thought Marino and Pettersson for at least the first four or five games of the series, maybe the first four, they were really good. But they had a rough game seven, and that moment there, you know, ultimately did the Penguins in.
I feel like Dumoulin's loss hurt a lot, too, and today we find out that he has a grade three torn MCL. Obviously you miss him, even though he did not have a great season, but I hated the pairing of Letang and Matheson. I just feel like those two are too much alike and got in each other's way.
Yeah. The way I saw it though, is I didn't know what the alternative was. You know, I mean, I think you would run the risk of overexposing Pettersson if you put him up there with Letang. If you put Marino there, you have two righties and suddenly you're destabilizing the second pair. Obviously, Mark Friedman's not the answer. So I think they just tried to make the best of a bad situation. But once again, I feel like we're seeing Brian Dumoulin's value more when he's out of the lineup at this point than when he's in it. He's had a up and down couple of seasons, but just like his ability to one, kind of fit perfectly or close to perfectly alongside Chris Letang, and also just what it does for the rest of the defensive pecking order goes a long way. And you know, that's another, I'll be interested to see what happens with Brian Dumoulin. I mean, if this, you know, this front office or whoever's making these decisions ultimately wants to create some space and make some moves, you know, that's one guy I would wonder if they'd look at moving on from.
Well, in that vein, I think it's almost unthinkable that Malkin or Letang will come back. What's your call there? What's going to happen?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, we've all pretty much heard the same thing, that the Penguins came in pretty low with their offers. We'll see if things heat up, you know, now that the season's over. I mean, I do think it was smart, at least in the case of Malkin, for the Penguins to slow play it, because for him at 35 coming off knee surgery, you wanted all the information you could possibly get about what he's going to look like, you know, what he's going to project like going forward. I think Letang showed again this year, even though he didn't have the greatest postseason, that he's still a very good defenseman and he's probably going to get paid appropriately. So I don't know. It's going to be tough. I don't know how much these guys are willing to leave on the table. You know, Letang might actually get a pay raise if he hits the open market, whereas I think everybody's probably bracing for Malkin to take less money. So it's just about whether or not they find middle ground. But, you know, I will say it's going to be tough for this team to get better in the short term if they don't bring back their number two center or their defenseman. I mean, I'm sure there's avenues for them to do it, but for me, I think Letang showed that he's worth keeping around. It's just a question of finding the right price.
Oh, no, I think Letang is the guy I'd keep, given a choice of any of them, but I think the price for him might end up being astronomical. I agree he will get a pay raise from his already considerable, $7.25 million salary this year. But you talk about the short term, Matt. Maybe it's time for this team to not think about the short term anymore.
But what do you think Sid would think about that?
He's not the general manager.
But maybe they could sell him on, okay, like maybe we're going to take a step back this year to take two steps forward, and maybe that's something he'd be on board with. I know we talked today about how he's only looking at three more years to his career, but I'm sure if he's still playing well, he's going to want to keep going beyond that. And if he's healthy.
Yeah, but that three more year stuff with Sid, that was a way of reminding the Penguins how long his contract is, in a way to say, boy, you could keep these guys for just three more years and that'd be great. But then after that, he'd want three more years for everybody again. Don't get me wrong, Matt. I have a lot of respect for Sid. He's one of the five best hockey players of all time, and he's won three cups here, but he's not the GM. And, you know, I thought they should have got rid of Malkin, not got rid of him, but got a good deal for him in 18 or 19. And I still think you can rebuild around Sid, but you might not be able to do it immediately. Whereas I know if they bring back the old gang, at best they lose in the first round again.
Yeah, you make a great point about last year. I actually thought this situation might come to a head last year because there was a year left on those deals, and if they weren't going to sign those guys, that maybe, okay, let's get some value and retool that way. I mean, now that we've seen a little bit more of Ron Hextall's track record here, we know that he's going to be incredibly patient. So I kind of thought that would come to a head last year. But, yeah, I mean, you make a good point. You can't bring the same group of guys all back together. You know, that's the definition of insanity, especially if Mike Sullivan's coming back. So I do think something needs to change there. And I think you and I are in agreement that if you're going to keep one of those three guys, you keep Letang, and then you try to retool the supporting cast around those two guys.
Is there any chance that Rust or Raquel, or I don't know why they'd want him, but Kapanen, what about the slightly below where the line free agents? Because I value Rust very highly, but I just think he gets too much too long.
Yeah, I mean, I love Rust as a player. He's also just a great character guy. You can tell just how much he's grown as a leader over the years. Tons of value, but, you know, a lot of teams like to build down the middle, and I think the Penguins, you know, certainly fit that bill, especially if you look at who they decided to protect in the expansion draft last year. So I don't know how much they're going to prioritize Rust and if they're going to be able to find middle ground. I mean, I haven't completely closed the door on that happening, but if the Penguins don't want to give him money, somebody's going to give him money, because he'd be a great fit in either like a bona fide contender right now or a young up-and-coming team that wants to take that step. But yeah, I can't see Raquel coming back if Rust comes back. But if Rust goes, you're going to have to bring somebody back, I would think. And, you know, I think Raquel did okay in his time here. Maybe they can get a more reasonable deal. And then Kapanen, I mean, they got his rights as an RFA. I'm sure they'll you know, give him a qualifying offer probably. But I don't know. I'd be looking to maybe flip him and see if you could get anything for that guy. But they're gonna have to be careful. You can't just keep bringing the same guys back. You know, you look at Rodriguez and Heinen, great first half. Not good second half. I think the second half is probably a better indication of who they are as players. So they should look to bring at least a couple of these guys back, because that's way too many holes to plug, and you have the familiarity, but they got to be careful with all these guys to not overrate them. I mean, look what happened with Jeff Carter. Now I wonder if the Penguins are feeling any remorse about the contract they give to him.
Well, they should, because there's no reason to sign him before you know the fate of Letang, Rust, and Malkin. But that was a L.A. buddy-buddy thing with Hextall and Carter, because I see no other logical reason to extend Carter's deal. Speaking of which, is it automatic that Sullivan's back, and what about Hextall and Burke?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the fact that they brought out Sullivan today says that at least the current front office would like them to come back. I mean, they've said nothing but things about him. I know FSG, Fenway Sports Group, has been very complimentary of him as well. But you also have 6-15 in the last 21 playoff games, so I do think they should at least look at whether they need a fresh voice in here. But yeah, I think the bigger question to me is what's going to happen with the front office, as you talked about as well. You know, it looks like potentially they could make changes.
I'm sure Burke is gone. I'm sure he's gone, Matt. And with Hextall, I don't know. I've not heard anything. I just don't think he's good enough. I don't trust him to spend the cap space that's going to open up.
Well, yeah, and if they were to move on from Burke and bring in one of their own guys over top of Hextall, I mean, you know, what does that mean for the long term for Hextall, even if he's back? But, you know, these guys played, you know, reported, what, $900 million to buy the team? I mean, it would be understandable and maybe should be a little bit expected for them to at least consider bringing in their own guys to run the team. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see who makes these decisions here going forward. You're right. I mean, if they're going to bring back Malkin and or Letang, though, I mean, there's got to be more urgency. Like, either you're all in or you're all out. I feel like people criticize Jim Rutherford, and it's fair to quibble with some of his moves, but his approach was crystal clear. And honestly, I think it was the right approach. If you're trying to win with this core, then go all in and worry about the consequences later. I don't know if, you know, it's possible to thread this needle between contending now and also building for the future, not with the state of the roster where it is. I
mean, the way to thread that needle, Matt, is to let Malkin and Russ go, somehow keep Letang at a price you can live with, that he can live with too, keep Raquel, and then, you know, spend wisely. I think you could come out with a better team if you did that. I think it's going to be tough to have a better team if Letang leaves. It's just all those minutes and what he does.
Yeah, and you can sell yourself even if you're just letting Malkin go. Like, okay, can we use that money for two or three more players and potentially have a deeper team? I'm not talking about a couple million-dollar players like Heinen or Rodriguez, but, you know, you can sell yourself on maybe reallocating that money in a different way where you have a deeper forward group that is, you know, that probably has a better chance of going on a deeper run.
Matt, great stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time. Good work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you soon.
That is Matt Wenzel. We're going to have Stan Saverin talking Penguins at 4:30 and then Scott Burnside at 5:30. We got Liverpool 1, Southampton 1 at the half. I'm Mark Madden, 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Super genius, big fan, big fan.
Hashtag best in the world.
You are the super genius.
I'll say, and then some.
The X at 105.9.
One one in the 52nd minute at Southampton. Liverpool has to win to stay in the title race, but it's a long shot anyway. I watched a bunch of movies on those long flights to and from the UK on Friday and Sunday. 7 hours each way, and that's from New York. I had to switch planes to get to New York and then back from New York. I watched Licorice Pizza, which got all kinds of awards. What a truly great movie. A happy movie, a feel-good movie, but not corny or carny. How the 15-year-old boy and 25-year-old girl handle being boyfriend and girlfriend after the movie concludes, I do not know. Somebody called Child Welfare, but it was a great movie. Great cameos by Sean Penn and Bradley Cooper. One of my favorite movies of the year. It's winning all kinds of awards, and I can 100% see why. 412-333-WXDX, number to call. No quarter brought to us by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Matt?
Hey, yeah, so I get what you're saying about the don't want to keep the core together, you know, want to separate it, but it's not like we got blown out. I would say it was a fluke that we lost to the Rangers and the Islanders this year. It was bad luck. It was fluky. It was injuries.
Yeah, you're doing is making excuses, bro. They've lost five playoff series in a row. Okay, how fluky can it be when it's happened five times in a row?
I mean, that goal, the injury, the goal.
Yeah, you're right. They should keep the exact same team together because they were a couple breaks and bounces away from winning the cup. Is that what you wanted to hear?
What? No, I would say, if you had to keep one of those three guys, it'd be Letang, not Malkin.
Yeah, I would say so too, but let's backtrack to the part where you said it was a fluke. When you lose five playoff series in a row, it's not a fluke, okay? You're a losing hockey team in the playoffs. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're talking to Mark.
Yeah, Mark. I'd like to just say I blame it on Hextall. The guy's a Hall of Fame goalie, but yet the last 2 years it's been goaltending that let us down. I think if Rutherford was there, he definitely would have traded a first-round pick. I'm not saying Fleury is the greatest goalie ever.
Yeah, that's stupid. Goodbye. That's just stupid. Goodbye. Okay? I wouldn't have traded for Fleury. And there's no way to plan for your top two goalies being hurt. There's no way to plan for that. Okay, they had a third-string goalie who, before the playoffs started, had played 146 NHL games. And I think he stinks, but for a third goalie, that's about as good as you're going to get for a third goalie. So this notion that all was lost because they didn't handle the goaltending properly, that's just stupid. The goaltender was awful, but he's your third guy. What do you expect from your third guy? Should they have brought Fleury in before the season to be the third guy? Actually, the Smith would have been the third guy. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on with Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Joe?
I got a question. Now, nor do I think this should happen, or do I want it to happen. Do you think there's any chance of Crosby maybe retiring early?
No. He just said today he's going to play at least three more years.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you.
Okay, that's all you wanted to know? Okay, goodbye. Well, Harvey Elliott should have scored there. Now we're getting chances. 56th minute. I promised myself I wouldn't get wound up about this game because it's such a long shot to win the league, but I am. I'm wound up. Let's go to Looch. Looch, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark, what's up? How you doing today?
Hi, Looch.
Hey. We're bringing them back. Last dance. We're winning it
all.
Goodbye.
Let's go to Tommy. Tommy, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark. Am I reading too much into the fact that all the let-ups after we score or at the beginning of periods to where this coaching staff, I mean, is it their job to keep these guys focused enough not to let down?
No, I think it's a professional hockey player's job to keep himself focused to not allow a goal in the first minute, last minute, or next minute. I'm not blaming the coaches for that. I'm just not.
Okay, but, I mean, where does scheme come into play after these goals as far as the proper lines?
Yeah, you know what? You can knock coaching for some things that have happened, like their unwillingness to revisit how they protected a lead at the end of Game 3, but it's the players' jobs to be focused on the rink, okay? You do not blame focus on the coach.
But can't
yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Because you're not going to stop until I tell you you're totally right. So you're totally right. Anything else?
Yeah. When
goodbye. Up next, somebody who's not as stupid as that guy. 105.9.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.